Chodesh Tov, and welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Monday, the first day of the month of Cheshvan. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Wes Kalmar, Mor D'Asra of Anshei Sfard Kehillat Torah in Glendale, Wisconsin, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Kalmar slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Kalmar to learn more about his wonderful community in Milwaukee. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Zechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Kalmar.
Thank you so much, Rav Naftali. I just want to say to you and to the OU a tremendous yashar koach for doing this call day in and day out. I know how much it means to so many people across the globe, and I'm honored and humbled to be able to share with all of you today a little bit. So this coming week's parsha is Parshas Noach, in which we find the story of the Mabul, the flood, arguably the most well-known and widespread story in the entire Torah, in the entire Bible. Everyone knows this story. If you look at any child's room, odds are you will find some artwork, toy, something from Noah's Ark. Such a nice story. The Ark, the building, the animals, the floating zoo, the rainbow. When she was little, one of my daughters had a teva party in school. She brought a giraffe. Hello, people. What are we talking about here? The whole world destroyed. Complete destruction, men, women, children, animals. Almost everyone was dead. I hate to rain on the teva party, but the whole world was destroyed. We're so nonchalant about it. All the pictures are of Noah and his wife. They're smiling and they're waving. The animals and the people are so happy in the pictures. They weren't happy. According to Professor Moshe Kaveh, Israeli physicist and former president of Bar-Ilan University, an article he wrote about the flood, he estimates that with the ark size, they could fit 8,600 birds, 6,300 reptiles, and 3,700 mammals. They would have produced about 800 tons of refuse. So is it any surprise that Noah's first move is to plant a vineyard? Right? He needed a stiff drink. Everything they knew was gone. Friends, homes, towns, civilization, schools, businesses. Life as they knew it was gone. It was a massive tragedy. I think the responses that we see in the parsha are indicative of different approaches to tragedy. As mentioned, after the rainbow is set in the sky, Noah plants a vineyard. And he drinks from his bounty, and he gets drunk. He loses himself in the physical. He medicates away his troubles. And that's one response. Noach's son Ham sees his father in his nakedness, and he tells his brothers about it. According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, he does even worse things. And this shows another response, lack of respect and regard for authority. If there's a breakdown in the system, something must be wrong with the system, and the response is to degrade those in places of authority. We have a verse about Nimrod, who hechelios gibor ba'aretz, he began to be a mighty man in the world. According to the Midrash, he was a tyrant. That's another approach. If everything can go up in smoke tomorrow or be washed away tomorrow, then I might as well take by force what I can today. No reason to be moral. The Dor HaFlaga, the generation that built the Tower of Babel, they have a different approach. Let's build a mighty tower against God so that he cannot destroy us. We will pretend that we are immortal if we take certain measures to protect ourselves. Yefes, Noah's second son, sees beauty in the world. And therefore, the way that Ham has treated his father is not becoming and not beautiful. And so he helps his brother Shame cover their father in protecting his honor. And then there is Shame. He believes in morality and ideals and good works. They still exist even after such a destruction. He builds a tent. The Parsha Noach mentions the Ohalei Shame, the tents of shame, a place where one has a home, has children, moves ahead, does good. I think that we have all been having a taste of what it feels like to be on the teva, to be locked up in a place and not be able to go out, to not see other people and to be able to do the things we normally do. Noach and his family were on the teva for a very long time, and we've been isolating ourselves to some degree for a very long time. We are not yet in a post-pandemic time period, but I believe that many of the responses to the story of the flood can be seen in our own behaviors and those of others. And we can ask ourselves the question, how are we going to respond to the pandemic? How is one supposed to respond to tragedy? The Parsha ends with Avraham, a man of tents, a builder of people, who believes in the potential of man to do good. Our job is to be Avraham and Shame. In the face of great tragedy, we believe in the goodness of others. We take joy in building, in creating and nurturing and supporting children, in believing in the future. This is the way of Avraham. This is the way of the Jew in the world. Don't minimize the destruction. Do not pretend the tragedy has not occurred. But don't be paralyzed either. Rather, our job is for us to pick ourselves up off the ground and start again, to keep plugging, to take what is beautiful and place them in the tents of shame, to do wonderful things in the world, to see the beauty in the context of morality, goodness, kind deeds, and faith in others, and in God, in Hashem. I would suggest that there are many things that we have learned during this pandemic. Maybe it's about connecting with our families. Maybe it's about taking proper care of ourselves, exercise. We've learned different things about what is important. What we need to do is to find those silver linings. Find one silver lining, something we have done better, something we have learned the importance of, and highlight it moving forward. The Jewish people have always been able to take a creative and positive approach to the future in a post-tragedy world. And the lessons of Avraham are there for us to grab hold of so we can come out of this better and stronger people. So I'm now going to say the Tehillim, and we'll start with chapter 23 with Perek Chaf Gimel. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai Roi lo echsar. Binos desha yarbitzeni, almei menuchos yinahaleni, nafshi yishovev, yancheni v'maglei tzedek l'man shemo. Gam ki eleich v'geitz almaves lo irara ki ata imadin, shiftecha u'mishantecha heima yinachamuni. Taroch lefanai sholcha neged tzorai, Dishanta Vashemen Roshi Kosi Rivaya Ach Tov Vachesed Yudifuni Koyame Chayai Vishavti Vives Adonai Li Orech Yamim. Now chapter 121 Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shir Lamalos Esa Einai El Harim Me'ain Yavo Ezri. Ezri meim Adonai, Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitein Lamod Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hinei Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzulcha, Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam HaShemesh Le'yakeka, V'yareach Ba'loivam. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikara Yishmor Es Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Teis Chavoecha Me'ata V'yad Olam. And I'll say Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir Hamalos Mimamakim Krasifa Adonai. Adonai Shema V'koli Tiena Oznecha Kashivos V'kol Tachninoi. Im avanos tishmar ya Adonai miyamon. Ki imcha haslicha leman tivarei. Ki visi Adonai kibesa nafshi v'levaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbei mofidus. V'hu yiftes Yisrael mikol avonosav. Now going to say the Misha Berach for Cholim, prayer for those who are sick. When I pause, please insert names of people who you know who are in need of Refuah Shlema, who are in need of healing. Misha Berach Avosenu Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirape Es HaCholim. Bavur Shanachnu Mispalim Bavuram Iskarza Kodeshbroch Himalay Rachim Alehem Lachlimam Raposam Lachzikam Lachyosam Yishlach Lahem Erefur Shalema Shamayim Lachoyvrem Lachogideim Besok Sharkola Yisrael Vuas Anevashu Vuas Aguf Hashtabag Lavaz Man Kariv and Omar Amen. I'm going to say Achenu. Achenu Kovais Yisrael, Hanasunim Vatsara Vashivida, Haomdim Vimayama Vimayashap, Beabasha, Hamakomi Rachem Alehem, Yotiem Yitzara Lavacha, Mefel Lora, Mishivida Gula, Ashkabagala Vazman Kariv, Vinamar, Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Kalmar. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Okay. Baruch Hashem, okay. Not going to pretend that it has been easy, but feel very blessed to be healthy and very happy to be where I am, for myself and my wife to be able to work, and our children are able to go to school in person. Our community and the greater Milwaukee Jewish community, Baruch Hashem, has not been hit as hard as some other communities by the pandemic. But certainly it's a challenge for everyone, of course, people who are alone, financial challenges, how to go back, challenges, back to school, to shul, to work. But Baruch Hashem, we weathered it okay so far. We made it through the Chagim, and Baruch Hashem, everybody's is doing okay.
Happy to hear that. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with Glendale, I actually had to Google it to know that was Milwaukee. If you could give us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there are Glendales in California and Arizona, so you could go off track. We're really Milwaukee. We're a medium-sized Orthodox shul in a tree-lined suburban neighborhood just north of the city of Milwaukee. And it's a friendly Midwestern style Orthodox shul with people from a lot of different backgrounds in the shul, but everybody comes together like a big family. You know, Milwaukee itself has a lot of different neighborhoods, different places. And Milwaukee has a yeshiva, has multiple day schools, has two boys high schools and two girls high schools. We've been here for 10 years now. My wife and I came from the East Coast. I'm from Baltimore, my wife from Queens, and we absolutely love it here. You know, there's affordable housing, there's a wonderful quality of life. If you're not going to be living in Eretz Yisrael, so then, you know, recommend Glendale, Milwaukee. The summers are amazing, and not too hot and beautiful. The winters are long and cold and white, but also beautiful. It's a wonderful community with a lot going on, the love of Eretz Yisrael and people really take care of each other and look out one for another. And we've got a wide variety of ages and a shul that's, you know, full of young families and kids. And, you know, that was one of the hard things, I think, over this period of time was, you know, kids not being able to be in the shul. And a little bit over the Yom Narayim and the Chagim and Simchas Torah, we figured out ways to safely and distantly, you know, be able to bring the kids back in to the shul. And so that's really been something that's been, you know, wonderful. So it's really a wonderful community. Like you said, you had to Google it. When we came here, you know, I didn't know very much about Milwaukee, but there's really a tremendous amount of Yiddishkeit and just a wonderful community and a lot of, you know, exciting things looking forward in terms of the Jewish community. So it's
great. And if I'm correct, is Milwaukee one of the areas where there are vouchers for yeshiva tuition?
Yeah, actually, we're one of the first, really. This city of Milwaukee put in a voucher system already 30 years ago. So that really has helped the Jewish community out tremendously, the ability to be able to have that voucher program. And they extended it from the city of Milwaukee to the state of Wisconsin, so that a few years back. That has made a tremendous difference in the Jewish community in terms of the ability to have, you know, wonderful Jewish education and schools. It's made a big difference. It really makes it affordable because people who are able to take advantage of the vouchers are not paying anything in tuition at all.
Wow. Similar efforts are being made here via Teach Florida and, you know, part of the OU Teaching Network. We'll see if we eventually get there. But
yeah, wish you a lot of
Florida,
luck with that.
Yeah, we'll help a lot of families. But South Florida was booming prior to COVID, and so many families have moved here just in the last weeks and months as people are looking for different places in the country to go to. We know, obviously, as you mentioned just a few moments earlier, you can't go to Eretz Yisrael, but some are going to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. Last question for you. In your remarks, you talked about how we are certainly not post-COVID right now. We are in the middle of it. And we've seen much change in our lives. And we're going to be like this for a while. I've had people in the medical world share that the last thing to go are going to be the masks. That could be another year, 2-3 years. We have no idea. Speculation at this point. But the social distancing and all the different changes and as challenging as it was, and we miss all those who have not been in shul for the past 7 months. There's something incredible and remarkable to take that step back and look at how we were able to pull off all these Yom Tovim that we thought would be impossible. Who could have imagined a year ago? You know, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, how do you do Simchat Torah? But somehow, in different ways, communities put these together. And again, I'll emphasize, we certainly are missing all those who have not been able to return to shul. But when we think about change, when we think about the changes that we're experiencing right now, and there's always innovation, but also if we can daydream, I don't know if it's possible, but if we can daydream about the future, what communal changes do you anticipate for yours in the broader Jewish community?
Right. So I think you're right. It's hard to look past one day at a time. It really is. It's really hard to plan. I think when this first started, we all were just thinking about how are we going to get kosher Pesach food? You know, how are we going to get through Pesach? How is that going to happen? And it was like this. And then Pesach was over, and I was like, oh, okay, now what? What do we do now? You know, and they're like, okay, well, Shavuos, you know, how are we going to do Shavuos? You know, that was a challenge. And certainly, like you said recently, it was all about getting through the Chagim. And Baruch Hashem, you know, went amazingly here. I'm sure, you know, I've heard from so many other places, just, you know, the you know, ways that people have creatively figured out how to make it wonderful. And now, so it's like, now what? We have a long time till okay, Hanukkah, Purim, whatever. You know, we got to. So that's really sort of like, okay, now what do we do? And then, like you're saying, even longer term, you know, it's so different. Like 7 months ago, like 8 months ago, if you saw someone coming towards your shul wearing a mask, right, what would you think, you know? You'd be so scared, you know, somebody's coming towards the shul with a mask. Now, if they're not coming with a mask, right, now we're scared. So it's such a strange time to be in. But I think that we learned a lot of things during this time. And even like you're saying, the people who are not able to come. But, you know, we've put all these different new efforts in. You know, I think for Abanim and for everybody, it's challenging. I think for people in the pastoral field, you have to come up with a whole new way of doing your job, reaching out to people in a whole new way and learning the technology and coming up with all, you know, it's a different, you just reinvent yourself. So that's challenging. But it's also, I like a challenge. Like it makes, you know, it's exciting. Let's figure out this. And one of the things I've found is that, you know, we send out a lot of emails sort of updating people, letting people know what's going on around the Jewish world and all the things that we're doing. And some people said, like, actually, you know, one person wrote me back an email, you know, I feel closer now to the shul than I did ever before, you know. So we've learned a lot. I think people are so sick of Zoom on one hand. But on the other hand, I think we're not going to get rid of it so fast when we go out of this. I mean, we've learned that, you know, the people have done Zoom, and there are people who were there who never would have been there, you know, if you just were inviting people in person. You wouldn't even have thought to reach out to these people. And here you have people in Eretz Yisrael and people over the world who are, you know, able to connect. So I think in the future, you know, this year, you know, Kol Nidre on Zoom, you know, and now we have a recording. We have like one of the best in our humble opinion, we have one of the best chazanim in the world, and in our shul it just happens to be, and everyone, you know, loves him and is beautiful. And we were able to record his Kol Nidre and share it with people, and people were able to see it live. It just, you know, it changes the way you think about so many different things. I think, you know, sort of like my drasha, we're going to take the silver linings. We're going to learn from this, you know, different ways to reach out to people. And one thing, you know, for me, it was something I was thinking about a lot before. We have a bunch of young couples who have moved to the shul in the last 8 or 9 years. And for me, you know, getting the word out about how wonderful Glenda is. I know, you know, the word about Boca, you know, it's gone out, you know, and I could see why some people might, you know, Boca versus Milwaukee, you know, I could see when people might come up with some, you know, reason. But for me, you know, I think thinking about ways to, you know, to promote our community, like I said, if you're not going to Eretz Yisrael, like there's just so many wonderful things, so much quality of life here that people, you know, don't even know about. For me, one thing that, you know, is getting the word out, and certainly I'm thankful to the OU and to this phone call for allowing me to start doing that. So that's certainly one thing that I'm thinking about in terms of post-COVID is figuring out ways to sell, you know, such a wonderful community to the broader Jewish world. So thank you.
Right. And listen, that's our pleasure. And you never know. I've received a number of phone calls and emails over the past few months from our wonderful callers and listeners who have actually said, you know, you had Rabbi so-and-so from such a community. It really sounded amazing. Can you get me in touch with them? You never know who's listening. But I will mention about Boca that no one talks about us during the summer months. So you don't get so many visitors. The snowbirds don't come during the summer. So it's only during certain times of the year. But listen, Rabbi Gomer, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As we are with all of Klal Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts and our prayers are to be with you and your community for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts, the safety, strength, and refuah for all those who need it, will be answered l'tova for good. And may the Rabbanu Shalom, the Master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for Words of Inspiration from Rabbi Daniel Rose, Congregation B'nai Jacob Shari Tzion, in Baltimore, Maryland. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.